Today is Monday, October 3rd, 2022. It's our last year before Yom Kippur, before Sukkot. And I want to dedicate this year. It's been a very difficult period with the news of Shalom's death. Rabbi Shalom Miller comes from a beautiful family. They're from Philadelphia originally. And if you would know what Philadelphia was like when his parents were born and raised, you have to make a goymel that they're still Jews, and they became committed Jews and tremendous B'nai Torah. Michael has been my student for probably two decades already. That's their father. And the eldest brother was Shalom. They're three brothers. The other two were our students right here in the Kollel, Binyamin and Yomi. And all three brothers went on to become a class act of Torah and Yerit Shemayim and contribution to the State of Israel. And Shalom, and he besides being a Rebbe and a Talmud Chacham, he organized a kehillah in Adam. There's a whole kehillah there which he created, Yesh Me'ayin, that's quite successful. And Lo Aleinu, last week in the middle of his shir, he had a heart attack and they couldn't save him. The Shem Yirachem. The funeral was yesterday. The shiver is very abridged today and yesterday a little, today and tomorrow the morning. And then the shiver's knocked out. Sukkot will knock out the Shleishim. And my heart goes out to the family. Only Iyuv can explain what has happened, and we have to accept it. Vayido Maharon, and perhaps it goes back to the old explanation that Rabbi Revel on his deathbed. Rabbi Revel was born in 85, and he died in 1940. Also, a stroke, a heart attack. I describe it in my work on Revel, and I describe it again in what I'm working on now with Shmuel Belkin. And on his deathbed, Rabbi Revel told his wife, a very gracious lady, Chayasara Travis, from a very famous family, and he told his wife that dying at 55, and Shalom was even younger, but he said to his wife, I hope you understand that it's not the chronological number of years that one lives, but what one accomplishes. And I hope I've accomplished more than a 55-year-old person. And we can say about Shalom Tzvi, in his limited years, he accomplished more than someone b'seiva tova. So I want to say chizuk to the parents, and we have to go back to what my grandmother taught me the early 50s, the Lebedik Adafkin Vita. As difficult as it is, we who are yet alive have to go further. So my condolences, Malka's condolences, everyone sitting here and listening to Grace and Michael Miller, to Harav Binyamin, Harav Yoni, to the widow, the children. God give you strength to go further. L'kavad u'l'tiferet g'machati b'tova. Yesterday's shiur, it drew quite a bit of comments, and I wish I could say I was wrong. The comments only strengthened what I had to say. And the worst story was after class, a Talmud told me about his daughter. And do you realize today that children are being raised that at the age of 9 or 10 they start to think, I can choose to be the opposite. Just think what's going on. It hit the Mamlachti Dati school system a few weeks ago, a few months ago already. And you hear story after story. A woman, she turns 18, 21. She gets an operation to become a boy. And God have mercy, in America, Obama arranged that the healthcare system, if you have insurance, they have to pay for an operation, a transgender operation. It's paid for. You don't have to have money. It's paid for by insurance. And it can't be reversed. And there are organizations that deal with the problems, and my Talmud was told by someone very responsible that more than 40% of the women who have this operation regret it later in life, and there's nothing they can do. And it's just frightening, frightening. On a lighter, something I said yesterday, Nachum Lamb writes to me about an elderly gentleman that he used to visit that knew the whole history of my neighborhood, the Philemon, what happened in Rehavia, Kiryat Shmuel, Katamon, during the Chemet Hatzma'ut. And while he's over 90, and while he's telling him, he has a big box of chocolate, and he's eating the entire box. And he says to Nachum, I know I shouldn't be doing this, but at my age, why does it matter? If you remember what I told you yesterday about Rabbi Philip Goodman, so this is a mirror image. Now, I mentioned yesterday about walking, holding my wife's hand, and everyone gets so excited, a young couple still in love after Baruch Hashem, in their seventh decade together. And Nachum writes to me, if he remembers correctly, he does remember correctly, in the documentary on the Rav, someone is interviewed who lived down the street from the Rav in Boston, and he describes the Rav Friday night walking hand in hand with his wife, later in the evening going out for Shpatzia, hand in hand. So I'm in very, very good company. Regarding the shiur yesterday and the sonogram and everything we were talking about, and we're far from finished, so Nachum makes a point we did not make in shiur, and I meant to make it. He's absolutely correct that today, when you do this photography or x-ray, whatever you want to call it, you at times you find a problem with the child. And I've read already that they can operate on the child in the mother's womb. They can correct the fault. But even where they can't correct it, you're ready the minute the embryo is born and becomes a human being, you can correct it very shortly, 30 days later, 60 days later, depends on the development and what the doctors decide. So there's no question that this ability that we have today has tremendous advantages, and we don't want to put down, as we said yesterday, there are disadvantages, but the disadvantages are more psychological. Someone who's mad at his wife for having a girl instead of a boy, or vice versa, he needs psychological help. The advantages are life-saving. All right, now I want to come to today's shiur. Today's shiur, you just have to relax and take it in stride. But there's no question that the Sakhmarov sensed right away, David, that the Six-State War would influence a number of his Hasidim to mainstream. Suddenly a person like Aaron Rakefet would be attractive to them and not considered an apikoros to the 12th power. So he comes out with this volume and he deals with the Six-Day War, and he deals, people say, we owe thanks, look how many Jews were saved, and the Sakhmarov says, look how many were killed, and you owe thanks only to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And everything, this great victory, and everyone praising the generals, the entire world, this is the Sitta Masvuta, the dark god of the dark side of the Ribbono Shel Olam. I hate to say these words, but the Kabbalah uses it. It's the Satan at work to see whether you will worship God or bow down to the Satan. And he goes on in this theme, and I want to pick up on page Ayin Vav, and then continue on page Pei Hei. And again, he made the point last week, the Jews got along with the Arabs, what caused all this enmity, if we wouldn't have had Zionism, we could live b'shalom v'shalva. And here, beginning on page Pei Hei, he goes in, why do we need a state of Israel? Look at the wars, look at the death, look what it causes. And it brings sakana, la alfei revavot nefashot Yisrael, the sakana hariga. And all this, he accuses the leaders of Israel, I quote his words, rotschim gemurim v'shofchei damim v'yashmat v'mei Yisrael talui b'rosham. Again, I told you I heard this in 56. I was shocked. My Rebbe, Rav Volk, and Rav Volk was an interesting personality, not an extremist, and he had a bit of a sense of humor. All right, his life was ruined by Hitler. I make that point in Washington, and I challenge anyone to show that I'm wrong. In Europe, he would have gone on to become one of the Rosh Yeshiva in Tells, Lekavod Ulatiferet, was a going idea. In America, all right, he taught NYU, but he was in the shadow of the Rav. The students revered the Rav, and you have to remember, the Rav was the Rav. It was not just a going idea in learning, but a PhD from the University of Berlin, a man who mastered English. It had to be his fifth or sixth language, and you all know, you hear the recordings of the Rav in English. All right, I will admit it doesn't equal his Yiddish. In Yiddish, that was his native language. You sawed with him, you laughed with him, you cried with him. But his English was on quite a level. And all right, Rav Volk, I would use the word tolerated. The Rav was revered, okay? There's a difference there. And you felt bad, you felt bad. I understood already who this man was and what he would have been. And he screamed at the class, Lehatzeki Gevin Rishus, who gave them permission to go to war in 56? Jewish boys being killed, who gave them permission? And I heard that the first time, and here you hear it from the Satma Rav time and again, and believe me, Rav Volk was not a Satma, but his feelings, I could understand. Alright, Ashrenu Shezachinu, that part of his family lives al Admat HaKodesh, and as I told you, I met his eldest son, who I already was quite friendly with. He was about 2 years younger than I am, Zichrona Levracha. I met him at the Kotel on Gaduri, part of Tzvar HaGanali Yisrael, so Rav Volk was Zaycha. Now, the Sakhmurov says, yeah, but they tell me the war was absolutely required, Hechrechi. By the way, the Sakhmurov's Hebrew, unless it was edited by someone, or the Talmidim, their Hebrew is good. The Hebrew is right up to date. And he says that this war was absolutely necessary, because if we didn't have the war, the state of Israel, Jews would have been wiped out. All right? Wait, we're hitting page Pevav now. And listen to what I'm saying and then open up your radio. And the Sakhmurov says, why would the Jews be wiped out? Make peace with the Arabs. Abolish the state. Live together with the Arabs. And the UN would come, I'm quoting him, Umotam Uchadot, perfect Hebrew. And they would come, Lasot Eze Seda, Limnoa Etam Milchama. And the UN would come and take charge, and there would be no war, and so many Jewish lives would be saved. Charlie, I'm going to give you a ticket to fly to the Ukraine today. What's your problem? The UN is around. They're looking over. They're helping the European Union. They're going to save the Ukraine. They're going to bring peace. Rivayna Shalom. I notice you're not happy to take a ticket to fly to the Ukraine. I got news for you. Neither am I. Rivayna Shalom. Abe, your life insurance paid up, all right, go and do some Hatzalah work there. But, wow, so naive. Here Ben-Gurion was right. Shmum. Do you remember that? Umat HaMuchadot, an abbreviation in Hebrew, is Aleph Vav Mem. And when they told Ben-Gurion, and you got to give him credit, I'm going to maledict him later today, but credit you have to give him, he established the state. The State Department didn't want him to declare a state. The United Nations didn't want him to declare a state. And you know what he did that Friday afternoon, May 14th? And he used the expression, which is very famous. Every kid who goes to high school here learns it. Shmum. You know, they're a waste of time. Shum dava. And here's the Satmar Rav building up the UN, and we see what's going on with the Ukraine. Beginning on page vav, he goes even further. What caused the whole problem back in 56? The Israel wanted to open up. If you go to Saudi, or if you go to Eilat, you look down towards Saudi Arabia. What's called the Straits of Tehran, I believe. That area is crucial for shipping. In other words, a country has to have places where boats can dock. Otherwise, it's impossible to depend entirely upon cargo planes to bring everything a country needs. One cargo ship can carry more than about four or five cargo planes put together, or even more. Do you know how much, Morty?
A lot more.
A lot more. You see a cargo ship, the one that got stuck in the Suez Canal. Did you see how big that was? What it had on it when fully loaded? A lot, infinitely more, right? I'll use that term. And so that we went to 156. And here, I feel bad because the Satmar Rav is absolutely correct. He says, what did Israel accomplish? Eisenhower and Dulles took it all away. And you know what happened? We ultimately had to retreat for everything we conquered. But the Egypt promised they would keep the Straits of Tehran open. And in 67, they blocked it. That began 3 weeks before we went to war with them. But that's what triggered the war. And the Satmar Rav goes crazy. So you don't have the Straits of Tehran. Let it be delivered to Ashdod. Let it be delivered to Haifa. Build a tremendous port in Ashkelon. We have plenty of places. Build in Tel Aviv. I mean, he's not totally wrong here. But it's here. Maybe he senses that, look, you just can't fence the country in, that it's going to be blocked and only open on one side, on the side facing the Yam HaGadol. So he makes another point. And here's the point that Rav Volk made. I remember he quoted the Rambam to us. That then later I learned the Sugya in Sanhedrin. How do you go to war? In order to go to war, you need a melech, you need a Sanhedrin, you need an absolute decision, particularly in Melchemet HaRashut. And in the Satmar Rav's eyes, this was a Melchemet HaRashut, and who makes the decisions? There's no melech, looking to the Rambam, Hilchat Malachim, dealing with Mashiach Zikainu. There's no Mashiach, there's no melech, there's no Sanhedrin. And he talks about Manhigeich HaMedina HaTzionut Shekal B'Einechem Damam Shem Yisrael U'menusimu Regilim B'kach LaHafkir U'lishboch Damam Shem Yisrael. And they go to war even though they know in advance that it could Sheyigrom Li'ibud Chayei Alafim Nifashat Mi Yisrael. And here he knows just what went on, and I know this too. Before the Six-Day War, they were so worried, the government was so worried about the Karbanot, that they set aside parks in Jerusalem, Tel Aviv, and Haifa, could also be Be'er Sheva. You've got to check it out. that they would do temporary burials. Were you aware of that? They were going to have the Kabbanot. They were worried it would come in by the hundreds, and there'd be no time to do proper burial. You're at war. So they would be buried temporarily, al-Tanai. It was all arranged with the rabbinate, al-Tanai, and that when the hostilities would be over, they would be reburied in regular cemeteries. You should know that not one temporary burial spot had to be used. Baruch Hashem. And he writes about that, that they risked their lives, they prepared cemeteries. Wow, who gave them Rishud? The leaders are killers. Ah, Elliot, so you're sitting and wondering who the heck is the Sakma Rav to call the Zionist leaders killers. Morty, I got news for you. On this point, he is absolutely right. And he knows it, he quotes it. I got to give one second. I'll tell you, what am I talking about? Do you know? What's he talking about? What am I talking about? What do you say, Morty? No?
No, back to what you said about the ports in Ashdod and Tel Aviv. It's because there's no access from Asia.
Yeah, no, I understand. It's lacking, But he calls the murder. What? He's absolutely right. David, how much do you know of the history of Israel? What is the lowest point in the history of Israel and the Hashgacha Pratit afterwards? I shiver, I shake. When did Jews kill Jews? No? The Altlena?
Yeah.
Okay, what's the story? The Altlena. The Altlena was an Italian ship.
Is that the aircraft carrier?
No. Yeah, it's not an aircraft. Maybe it was. I don't think it was an aircraft. I think
maybe
it was.
That's
exactly what we're talking about. To me, that's the lowest point in the history of modern-day Israel and the history of Zionism. The Altalena affair. To tell it briefly, I have all the information in front of me. So much has been written on it, but the state was declared. This is right in the early months of the state. And Bergson was involved, Hecht was involved from America. These were the people who arranged the March on Washington in 43. Okay, we've discussed it many times, and a lot more should be discussed about that march, who participated and who didn't. And wait till you see my piece on rabbinic authority. Within 2 years, I hope, the volume will be totally ready. I'm making a decision to publish it as a volume, and the distribution will not be that wide at first. It'll be limited to those that are my students, etc. But the upside is, if I publish it as a volume, it can raise substantial funds from Russian Jewry for the causes I've given part of my life to. But it's a very important article. Wait till you see what I have there about the march on Baruch Hashem. Okay. Now, the Apollina affair, the ship was hired, the ship was filled. There were about 900 Irgun people on the ship, most of them prepared to immediately go into battle. There were endless arms on the ship. June 20th, 1948, the ship docked at Kvav Vitkin. Late in the afternoon, Menachem Begin was there, and you got to understand from Ben-Gurion's point of view, this was a very delicate moment. Before the state was declared, you had the Irgun, you had Eitzel, and you had the Palmach. Three different organizations running armies fighting the British. When the state was declared, the first act of the new state after the Declaration of Independence and opening it to all immigrants, all three groups threw in their arms to one central organization, Tzva Haganah LiYisrael. Now, this ship that came in with its own arms, Ben-Gurion was worried that they reached the hands of the Irgun, Eitzel, Menachem Begin, it would not become part of the regular army. Chas v'chalila, these 900 so-called 940 passengers, out of them so many were ready to immediately take up arms. 2,000 rifles, 2 million rounds of ammunition, 3,000 shells, 200 Bren guns when loaded in Kfar Vitkin. Well, Ben-Gurion gave the order that unless they surrender everything to him, he's going to open fire on them. The ship sailed to Tel Aviv, and lo and behold, beyond Torah Jewish comprehension, Jews open fire on Jews. What's amazing is the officer on the beach at Tel Aviv, who was in charge of the soldiers there from Ben-Gurion's camp, do you know what his name was? Yitzhak Rabin. Yitzhak Rabin did not give the order, but he was ordered, he relayed the order, and his men, not all, three refused, and they were later court-martialed for refusing an order. His men, Yitzhak Rabin, opened fire on Jews and killed Jews in the beach at Tel Aviv. Now, how did Yitzhak Rabin die? Remind me. Yigal Amir, a Jew, killed another Jew. I don't know. When I say it, I shiver. I shake. Now, this incident that Ben-Gurion gave the word, opened fire, killed Jews, God have mercy, what could have happened? Jew killing Jew. Imagine had the Irgun fought back. 16 Irgun fighters were killed. All but three were veteran members and not newcomers from the ship. Six were killed in the Kfar Vitkin area and 10 on the Tel Aviv beach. Three IDF soldiers were killed, two at Kfar Vitkin and one at Tel Aviv. My dear students, the man who saved the State of Israel at this juncture was Menachem Begin. Why? Why Menachem Begin, Shoval? Why Menachem Begin? He refused to fire back. And that saved the State of Israel at this junction. The Shachmarav knew every detail about the Lena, and he quotes this and tried to refute him. I don't know how we can. And he says the leaders were murderers, Jew killing Jew. Now, to be fair, if Ben-Gurion were here, he would take the microphone and he would say, I had no choice. Had we not stood firm, the State of Israel would not have survived. It's either Dabar Echad, what is the Gemara saying, Sanhedrin? Only one spokesman for a generation? Veloshnei Dabarim. You have to have one king, you can't have two. And this is the way he would justify it. Hold on one second, Morty. Many years, and you have to know that the state, the Mapai, the Pamachnikim, they hated anyone who was a Chirutnik. You couldn't advance, you couldn't get a job. I met people in Chutz Laretz, I taught their children, the most capable, successful people in the world. They wound up in New York, they wound up in Toronto. They had to leave Israel. They were persecuted. In the waiting period before the Six-Day War, pressure was put on Levi Eshkol to form a unity government. Menachem Begin joined the government. Ben-Gurion got to know Menachem Begin, and Ben-Gurion is reported to have said, if I had really known Menachem Begin back in 48, the course of our history would have been different. Morty, yes.
But isn't there a precedent for all that back during the Korban Rishon?
Lo aleinu.
They were all fighting against each other also. Why didn't you talk about that?
Two wrongs don't make a right. Of course, Harkonis, Aristobulus, the Korban, sending a pig up, the Gemara and Baba Kama. We can argue with the Satma. Here, I stand with the Satma. Wow. Jew shooting Jew. And three soldiers were court-martialed for refusing to fire and follow Rabin's order. All right, it's a dark period. Yesh panim lakan, v'yesh panim lakan. You know when this comes out up again? Gentlemen, you're missing a little of the history. America's going crazy. Ben-Gvir might become a Saab in Memshelet Yisrael. They're going crazy. I'm going to vote now. I'm going to certainly vote for Ben-Gvir. No question about it. I'll do anything to get him more votes. Wow. America, the chutzpah. But we're a vassal state. I mean, Netanyahu and others embedded on what America says. They count out. No, what do they accuse Ben-Gvir of being? A Kahanist. All right, I grew up in the lap of Mayor Kahana. Yeah. I have a balanced view, but I certainly don't dismiss Mayor Kahana. One of the big problems with Mayor Kahana, and I wrote about this, you can see it in Rakov Aron Chelik Dalit, it originally appeared in Jewish Action. Mayor Kahana, when he came to Israel, the government claimed he was looking to import guns. Well, I don't have to tell you. Do we have a government? Again, are we going to shoot each other? As hard as it is for me to accept Michal Michaeli and others, they're the government. My bullet is my ballot. And this is what I said yesterday about Bennett, and I think I'm absolutely right. Bennett is a fine individual, a fine Jew. One of his closest friends is my student, Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg. But what he did, he opened the door that ultimately gives power to Sonei Yahadut, Sonei Yisrael. It's frightening. Trains running on Shabbat. Why are we a Jewish country? What gave us the right to kill Arabs? I've said this many times, you've heard me. Challenge you to refute me. Our whole right to bear arms and fight is based upon the Ramban. Because it's the Jewish homeland. But if it's a country, Kachal HaGoyim, Beit Yisrael, we have no right. The Satmar's right. Give it up. Call in the UN and let them take charge. And with Mayor Kahana, this is one of the reasons the state went after me. Round up spending more time in jail here than he did in America. And Enoch Hinami. It's absolutely wrong, because with all due respect to Rakefet, I know that Rakefet has points of view, and he's strong, and he can prove it, and he can stand by it, and he raised children who all agree with him, and many grandchildren who agree with him, and I hope I'll be zeichet to see many great-grandchildren agreeing with him. But, Ribono Shel Olam, I'm right, you're right. Before we know it, Jew is shooting Jew, and I don't have to tell you what would happen here. And here, the Atleta haunts us until today. And I can't say the Satmar is entirely wrong. When he quotes the Atleta, We have to stop, we have to think, we have to pause. Chas v'chalila, there should be a repeat of this again. And there I always quote Rav Ovadia, I don't know, you know, Lo Aleinu, in the Katamonim and elsewhere in Yerushalayim, gangs on top of gangs, and suddenly Jews killing Jews. I don't have to tell you, Binyan Klal. Again, you don't remember when I came in Aliyah, who heard of a Binyan Klal? It didn't exist. And then they built this tremendous building, Binyan Klal, with in the center of town, next to Machne Yehuda, with such wonderful plans. Nothing has failed more miserably than Binyan Klal. Dark, not successful, nothing remained there. Or today it's just a bunch of offices, and until you find the office, you gotta be a genius. It's worse than Moscow during the communist period. And you know why they say Binyan Klal never succeeded? They say, I don't know, I can't prove it, but I can only tell you what is said by the most reliable people in Jerusalem. Kohanim cannot walk into Binyan Klal because the Jewish mafia buried two bodies underneath the structure of the building. So Rav Ovadia, and then the shooting, killing, and Rav Ovadia says, Misha, as only he could say, I can't imitate him, Misha ma davake zeh, she yehudim sfadim eitat ha-mishrach, harigim isha tereyegu, lo shamanu davake zeh me'olam. And I say, yeah, he says, eitat ha-mishrach, but like the Anazim, they used to killing each other. And I tell you, he may be right. It was Rabin who gave the order, Ashkenazi, who was gave the order on top, Ben-Gurion, Ashkenazi. The whole structure of IDF at that period, Ashkenazi. Rav Ovadia may be right. And this is his proof that the leaders of Israel, you're talking about the Ashkenazim, you're talking about Ben-Gurion, for Chaverav, this is the greatest proof that Jewish life does not matter to them. And he says, you see, all the other nations, this is the Safarov speaking, all the other nations, they have fights, they don't go to war so quickly. They're not like Israel. But our leaders, mafkiram daman shel Yisrael. And what do we have out of it? 1956, nothing remains. 67, who says something will remain? How can you believe in Zionism, which Posek in the world would be matir going to war and killing Jews under these circumstances? All right. He says, they speak about the war. Now I'm page Tzadi Aleph. They speak about the war that it's Hatzalah. And the Sapurav says, Adarabba, Ibud Nefashot Uretzicha Gumura. And writing this in 68, he says, there's still tension in Israel. There's still hatred of Israel. There's never a moment that you can say we have achieved. No. You have accomplished nothing, and because you're trigger happy, who says that the leaders won't lead the Jewish people to war once again, and so many lives will be killed? All right. Then, beginning on page Kuf, we come to another point, and all right, here, I think you'll see reality refutes the Satmar, but let's listen to his point. And the Satmarav says, people tell me, Rebbe, don't get so upset over the Six-Day War. It created Jewish identity and a tremendous Baal Tshuva movement. And the Satmarav says, I don't know whether this is true. But yes, could be it created a Baal Tshuva movement, but this Baal Tshuva movement ain't bezeh mamish. It is totally phony. It has no content. It will not last. Charlie, what's his proof? Shabtai Tzvi. And here, I'm not an expert in the field. The people who devote their lives to studying the Shabtai Tzvi movement and what happened afterwards. At Hebrew U, you've had some real experts, beginning with Geshen Shalom. But I did a little research, and it is true. You have to understand, Shabtai Tzvi, when he came along, the Jews had suffered tremendously. When you suffer, you look for something good, something to cheer you up. And here, right after the Chmelnytskyi massacres, and you got to remember, over 100,000 Jews were killed. It's not a small matter. You go to Russia, you go to the Ukraine, you'll find streets named after Chmelnytskyi. As a matter of fact, the one functioning shul in Moscow during the communist period was right around the corner for Chmelnytskyi Street. And it was on the Arkhipova Street, right around the corner. And here, Shabtai Tzvi comes along and he says, we're redeeming you, I'm Mashiach. Oh, was there excitement among the Jewish people. Read Gukul of Halman, look at that lady's memoir. She describes how people got ready to move to Israel. They sold all their belongings. They got rid of their businesses. Tomorrow be told the redemption. They were willing to believe anything. It's like you read memoir literature out of the Holocaust and people heard the shofar of Mashiach being blown while they were in death camps. I understand. This is natural. We see the good news keeps us going. Hamakom yinachem etchem. What's the whole concept? The Rebbe Dikadafkin Vaiter. What's the whole concept? And we have to go further. We have to build. We have to create. We have to do. There were endless balei tshuva. But what happened? Afterwards it turns out that Shabtai Tzvi is a farce, and so many went off the derech. And remember what we quoted last week? Jacob Frank, the Frankist in Poland. Jews already wound up half Jewish, half Catholic. All that Shabtai Tzvi created and was so-called positive and repentance, and we're right before Yom Kippur, Tshuva, Slichot, it all dissipated. That's exactly what happens now. It is not correct. It has no basis. It cannot last. It is the Sitra Acher creating another false reality to lead Jews astray. All right. Now on page Kuf Bet. You're upset, Abe. You're upset. Stay upset.
What you're saying. The Baal Teshuvah
movement. Abe, I got news for you. There are more Shomer Shabbos Jews than Charlie and Morty. They're generations of frum Jews. There was no interruption. Am I right, Charlie? No interruption. Morty, no interruption. The majority of frum Jews in the world today are balei tshuva.
Yeah.
The best students I have ever taught were balei tshuva.
So what does it mean about
Abe, look up the article on a guy named Rakefet. in the Wikipedia, and they quote me as saying, the only way you can be a good religious Zionist is to know the Satmarov's writings by heart. Have I answered your question? Okay, relax yourself. But that's his point. You got to understand what he's saying. Oh, but now we go further. We're going to see, oh my God. This is World War III now, happening right before your eyes. Tell me, what put Chabad on the map? I grew up, we knew about Chabad, but a minor league happened. I was a kid, I went to Chabad Shabbos. I told you, I write about it in Washington, I think. I came back, I told him, I was at Chabad, I told my Rebbe, Reb Noach Bornstein, Talmud Mufak of the Brisker Rab, and he shouted at me. I think, had I told him I was at a Buddhist temple for Shabbos, he would have been happier. And Chabad was beginning, but all right, Chabad wasn't major by far. Along came the Six-Day War, and there was the three-week waiting period. That three-week waiting period, Israel mobilized, the entire country was mobilized. You have to understand, it was a much smaller country, the army was much smaller. It's not like today, if you're in Miluim and they call you up, you have a choice of going or not going. You understand? When I had to leave the country, back in the 70s, the 80s, maybe even into the 90s, I had to produce an issue from my unit that I'm allowed to leave the country. I'm in Miluim. Doesn't matter. Today, it's a different story. The army, the country is 7 million Jews here. Can I in horror? Just think where we're at. When the country, I came in Aliyah, I was 1.5 million Jews. It's a different world today. The Lubavitcher Rebbe gave an order that the Chabadnikim should go wherever the troops were stationed, south, north, central Israel, and bring tefillin, and start a tefillin campaign based upon the Sotzik Barovari Kol Ami Yoretz Kishem Hashem Nikra Alecha, and Chazal say in Masechet Brachot, V'Rol Kami Yoretz, they'll see the tefillin shel Rosh, and they'll fear you. And they never started that campaign. I want to tell you, that campaign put Chabad on the map. Because there were 3 weeks, and you were watching the TV, and you didn't have a computer yet, but you're watching the TV, and you see the Chabadnikim with the soldiers down south, up north, opposite Jordan, and they're telling you, Trillin, do you want to put on Trillin, Shema Yisrael? Very powerful. The minute the war was over, a debate broke out, a debate which continues until today, although it's low-key and I think Torah has won. I hope I'm right. What's the kotel? Is it an ancient archaeological dig or is it a Jewish shrine? And there were many people, one of them died, Sfardi, Hillel, I think his last name, was Hillel. Went to the Kotel, refused to put a kippah on. It's an archaeological shrine. It's a mapainik, a Sfardi, spat in the face of his heritage. Archaeological shrine. Chabad, from the day the Kotel opened, they couldn't do it on Shavuot. Kotel opened to the public on Shavuot. And, the whole country, 250,000 people went to the Kotel. The first Shavuot. If you meet people who went, they talk about it, they start shaking and crying. It was such a religious experience. People came to Jerusalem, slept in the parks, all over the parks, the Gan Atzmaut, the Gan Hasheru, the other park, whatever, but the Bell Park, the Gan HaPamon, They slept, literally brought sleeping bags and slept in the parks. Today, 250,000 people. The Chayalim, they didn't know how the Amis would react. The whole old city was flooded with Chayalim on the roofs of Hamotaych Yerushalayim. Kadti Shomrim, Ko Hayom, Machol Alayla, was a key of the Pasuk. And the next day, Chabad set up a tefillin stand. And that tefillin stand, that helped L'Kadesh Et HaKotel. You have to understand what happened. People came, never hadn't put on tefillin ever, put on tefillin once in their life, faced their bar mitzvah. My uncle, others, put Chabad on the map. After the Six-Day War, Chabad already was a world international reality. All right, the Sefer Rav comes along. Tell me, there's one person in my shul. He davens every morning, davens three times a day. He's a Talmud Chacham. He's a Mokir Rabbanim. He davens, comes at times at the oddest hours for normal people to daven, just to walk a guy named Rakef at home from shul. Shachris, Minchamarev, etc. Because I always have to climb steps, and when your feet are not what they used to be, you got to hold on to someone. So I see he doesn't put on a tefillin. And he explained to me he does it in the house, but he's afraid to put them on for a long period. Yes. His stomach problems. Fine, I understand. Sapurov comes along and says, yeah, they started tefillin campaigns. She found to Chabad. And he quotes the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Mem Tet Amud Aleph, Amar Rabbi Yanai, Tefillin Tzrichin Guf Naki Kelisha Baal Kanafayim. And he quotes the Yerushalmi, and he deals with the whole problem. How do we put tefillin on? And he says, Ein Hachinami, this is why we don't wear tefillin all day. Originally, they wore tefillin all day. The Gaon wore tefillin all day. You have to be on a tremendous level. You have to know how to keep your body clean. And then he comes on. What about sexual desire, sexual thoughts? And here, Hihurei Aveira, quotes sources, Bachurim, young men. And he says, this is why we limit them to putting tefillin on just for Shachrit. Because we hope that just for Shachrit, they won't have sexual desire. Hihurei erva. Excuse me. He quotes a tshuva from the Maram in Rottenberg. Says, yes, for Shachrit, we hope that a person is in such a big rusha that for 30 minutes, 40 minutes, he should be able to put on tefillin without the thoughts that are not acceptable. But the Sadhguru says, we're dealing with apikorsim. We're dealing with mumarim lahachas. We're dealing with people whose entire goal in life are sexual conquest. Pardon my language, but I'm quoting and paraphrasing. And he says, and you're going to let these people put on tefillin? And on page 104, Kuf Dalet, I've quoted this many times, is a frontal and fundamental attack against the Satmarav. And put on tefillin? He says, hold on. Let me just finish my point. He says, this is the sitra masvuta. This is Satan. You think it's a mitzvah? And he says, a certain Rebbe, page Kufchei, you'll see this thing. He's doing a mitzvah. He's doing the greatest sin in the world. Yes, Morty. I'm going to go further. To refute the Satma is very simple. Our problem is, this is not the Satma. This is the destruction of the world today by Torah Jews. And I'll explain myself. When I saw this the first time in 68, when this volume appeared, I couldn't believe my eyes. Gentlemen, I'm a normal male human being. All I do is go around thinking of seducing women. I'm married. I'm in my seventh decade of marriage. God should let me be married 700 years to the same woman. I have a great wife. Met her in Bnei Akiva. What more do you want? Look at other women. What's the Satma talking about? I got news for you. Mishpacha, Ami, the Haredi Press. It is Muktza Machmat Mius. They are educating a generation of sexual deviants. Their message is that every man is an Epstein, or what was the other one's name? Epstein or
Weinstein?
Yes, that's right. I had to think of it, but I would have thought of it in a minute because I have one student named Weinstein. I told him change your name. Every man is a sexual fiend, and you educate girls that every woman is just a sexual symbol. It's just luring men into sin. I still shake a picture of the Chafetz Chaim's wife. Her face is blocked out. I would arrest the person who did it and put him in jail for 1,000 years, shaming the Chafetz Chaim. It's the famous picture where the Chafetz Chaim is sitting in front of his house talking with his son from his second marriage, and the Rebbetzin is standing behind them, and they block out the Rebbetzin. It's a chet, an avon, a pesha. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, she'kol yevod v'ra. I have to tell you, I always thought the Satmar Rav was way off the path. Today, I'm off the path. My wife still hasn't forgiven me for that I let myself be interviewed by Ami Magazine. But I explained, Rabbi Kripke insisted, hard for me to say no to a student. Rabbi Kripke is a tzaddik, a yid tzaddik. Rabbi Moshe Kripke, vice president of Truro College, if you don't know what I'm talking about. Hard for me to say no to a tzaddik. But my wife is right. Mishpacha, how do you run a magazine? All right, they're manuvalim in the world. All right, so they're all manuvalim. But the Torah still talks about Rachel, Rivka, Leah, Sarah, Imenu. I look at people, dedication to this, it's wedding invitations. His name spelled out, V'Reyato, V'Ishto. Bina Shalom, you have a wife, she has a name. How do you, and it's very, very bad chinuch, because you teach a kid that every man is a sexual fiend, and the kid says, I'll be one too, what's the problem? And a girl is psychological, how do I do? You dress a new one, but a woman doesn't have to be psyched out that she's walking around enticing every man. If there are meturachim and mishugayim in the world, there are. There are murderers in the world. There are seducers in the world. There are drug addicts in the world. There are drunkards in the world. But Torah was given to sanctify people, and it's given to live within a normal life. The worst thing in the world is that we're like the Catholic Church today. David, you know about Reform and Conservative? When I was in the rabbinate, Rabbi, you have to do, you're the tzaddik, you observe. We're plain Jews, we don't have to observe, you understand? It's like the Catholic. Don't go detail, read Washington, my debate with Rabbi Teddy Friedman. So I have to tell you, the Sapa has a lot of good company on his side today. And you see the end result? Where do we have the most amount of sexual scandals? I don't want to answer the question. Look it up. Check it out. In Bnei Akiva, Ezra, or in the Haredi world? Check it out. You'll see the answer black and white. Part of it, by the way, I just saw in some of the Alonim, with statistics. Wow. Where do we have women who leave Yiddishkeit and walk around naked? I don't have to go further than Julia Hart. Breaks my heart. What she did. It's one thing, you want to be a menuvelet, that's your choice. Anyone can be a sex fiend or a prostitute, a concubine, whatever you want. But you destroy your children. I just saw an interview with her younger daughter. You read it, you have to rip Kriya. I wish she had been my student, that's all I can say. But where do you find? Wow. Anyway, on this, he attacks Satmar. Attacks the Rebbe. He says, yeah, we have someone who thinks he's doing a mitzvah. And he says, even l'sha'a kala, b'yod sh'achat tfilin aleihem, the tfilin is still on him. They're all they're thinking about. I'm quoting the Satmar. I wouldn't... Aval elu ha'rishayim sh'kom machshavotam v'iskam Biyavrayot umezuhamim bitachnit hazuhama v'choman magamatam leman rabot zima, and their entire, this describes human beings. I have to tell you, my uncle should rest in peace. My uncle Max, my mother was one of six children. My mother's mother is a cousin to Rabbi Revel. She came from a family of tzaddikim. My grandfather, my mother's father, learned in Volozhin when it was reestablished in 1895. He could quote Gemaras by heart to me. In America, their home was kosher. Beyond that, there was very little. Six children. And now I understand how certain things my grandparents said to me. How they suffered, they didn't know what to do. Six children, my mother was the only one with Talmudic Yiddish feeling. Max had a little feeling. It's my uncle, he's very close to me. Every Sunday, we'd all come together at my grandparents' home. And Max thought, all right, home was treif. He married a girl from Newark. I don't know if she knew another from a bit. He was at the Kotel. He came back inspired. He put on tefillin. He said, I haven't put on tefillin since my bar mitzvah day. And he was a normal American Jew. Believe me, he didn't think about women and raping and seducing and sex. It was a moment of kedusha v'tahara. And the Satmar ruled 100% against the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And this is, hold on one second, This is where the antagonism began between them. It begins right there on page 104 in the Kuntres Al-Hagabura, Al-Hatamura. It begins right there. Yes, Morty. I can't hear.
After Ganef Brenta Hippo.
Well, yeah, but I have to accept the Satmarov that he was a tzaddik. He meant L'shem Shemayim, I trust. But wow, the Sitra Mavusa and all that goes with it. And by the way, despite the fact that some of those who left Satmar write about the incest and whatnot, I'm willing to bet the Satmar community has many problems. Well, I'll show you some of them, but not yet. It has many problems. There's no two ways about it. But overall, I don't think they're any worse or any better than the general Haredi world. In my humble opinion, if you want to see real from Jews, go to Yehuda V'Shomron. There, the percentage of real Elichkeit and Frumkeit. And by the way, some Haredim have admitted it in public. They say, some Haredim have admitted it in public, some politicians, some entertainers. What you have there, you don't have anything anywhere else. You have sinners all over. That can't be avoided. That's part of being a human being. That's why you always say, the famous Nodeb Yehuda, it's overwhelming to me. The Nodeb Yehuda call, I quoted it once in detail in class, word by word, but the Nodeb Yehuda calls the person, the sinner, a Talmid Chacham, that on a level of matmid, he gives him so many words of credit, and the whole shaila revolved around the fact that for a few years he had an affair with his mother-in-law. And I got everybody, Shalila, take a look what you have. But these are human beings. This is why the Torah says, do not kill, do not rob, do not covet your neighbor's wife, etc. Because humans are humans. I have a problem, I admit, I have a problem understanding it. It's very hard for me. To me, all my life, my only value has been Torah. Create, build, learn. When I told you yesterday, When I have neighbors who are not frum, and they don't become frum, then something's wrong with me. They see a Jew kulo Torah, and it doesn't affect them. All right, I have a problem. But wow, to go with the shita that ever could be Moshe Dayan, maybe Moshe Dayan. That's who the Sefer Rav is talking about. Could be he was on this level. His track record is not good. I can tell you where I came in Aliyah, everyone knows that, or that family name, everything. I can show you the house. It's down the hill from where I live. That's where a high school kid came home and found his mother with Moshe Dayan, and that kid committed suicide a few days later, a few weeks later, whatever. And that was Moshe Dayan. There's the famous story where they came into the cabinet meeting and Golda Meir is sitting, prime minister, and they something, Golda, one of your cabinet members has once again raped a woman. And she says, where is he? I'll pull out his other eye. You follow? She doesn't ask for the name. She just says she pull out. Oh, maybe that's what the Satma meant. But Ribbono Shel Olam, most people, I hope 90% of the human race is not like this. And this caused tremendous tension among the camps of Satma and Chabad. I don't have to tell you, by the 1970s into the 80s, it reaches Mamash Mulchama. On the streets, they're fighting. The Rebbe started a minhag that on Shavuot, he sent out shluchim to all the surrounding communities to teach Tanya. So in the 80s, I remember, with maybe Israeli TV, I used to watch the news then on the TV every night. I haven't opened the TV, I don't know in how many years. Whatever news I want, I get from the computer. But I remember this was on the news, that they sent Shluchim to Williamsburg. The Satmar grabbed hold of them and beat the heck out of them on Yontif. And they had to run back, saving their lives. It mamish beach warfare. Now, there were other factors, too, that contributed to the warfare. And one factor, I think, is what, Morty, you're alluding to, is that most people are going to vote Chabad, not Satmar. And Satmar was losing people to Chabad. And this is the word I said, and people say there's a lot of truth to what I said. And maybe I'm not the only one who said it, but a few years ago there was a tremendous tragedy in Satmar from the finest Satmar of the Hoch Satmar Familien, the finest Satmar families, two girls converted to some form of Protestantism, baptism. It's on YouTube. And they show these girls converting and accepting Jesus. And I said about afterwards in class that if these girls had been Chabadnikiyot, this would have never happened. Why? Because Chabad teaches love, outreach. Even love for Goyim. I mean, what the Rebbe introduced with Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, he was the first one. Now there are more that understand this. But the Satmar, the Lubavitcher was unbelievable. Satmar teaches hatred, enmity. Everything is no good. Putting tefillin on at the Kotel is no good. The State of Israel is no good. Zionism is no good. So these girls were ripe for a beautiful message from the Baptist. Love your fellow man. Love your fellow woman. Love every person. We love Jews. We love Gentiles. We love Buddhists. We love Chinese. Love. Love. Outreach. There they are, being baptized. All right, it's something to think about, and I hope, again, no one can predict the future, but I hope that Satmar, in the course of time, it will mainstream. There are many Satmar who are closet Zionists. I can tell you names, I can give you names, and closet Zionists, and I hope in the course of time, we'll see a return. Again, I come back, I've spoken about this, but not recently. Many years ago, we had a Yom HaTzmut party. It was hosted by a almana of a Rav who got smicha with me, and it was all Rabbanim. In order to be invited, I guess you had to be married to a Rav and the Rav. So Shalom Gold was there, and I was there. And Shalom Gold and I had a tremendous debate. Shalom Gold should live and be well. He was raised in the Haredi world. He went, I believe, to Rebbe Das, near Yisrael. I was raised in the Tzioni Dati world, although I spent some time in Lakewood. And Shalom Gold was furious with Satmar, maledictive, and cursed him, and explained that Satmar destroyed the yeshivat in America. In the right-wing yeshivat in 48 and 49 and 50 and 51, every last yeshiva, Teira Vedas and Chaim Berlin, and tells they were all Zionistically inclined and celebrated Yom HaTzmut 100%. And the Satmar came along, forget about the Holocaust, degenerates and what they did and the Sidra Matvusa and Satan and he influenced. Go find the yeshiva today outside of YU or land the college where Yom HaTzmut is celebrated. There may be, but I'm talking Nei Yisrael, I'm talking Lakewood, etc. There may be individuals, that's for sure, but publicly. And I said, we can't maledict Satmar. We have to keep the channel of communication open to them. They're our biggest reservoir for Balei Tshuva. You follow? Because you can get a satmi, shoymish Shabbos, he shoymish Shabbos. A hit of kashrut, he observes kashrut. He observes Tarat Mishpacha, he observes Tarat Mishpacha. All right, we have someone who's three quarters of the way there. Speak to him about Israel. Speak to him about what we've done here. Speak to him about the miracles, the ingathering of the exiles. Speak to him about the level of Judaism that we have today, including the public sphere. A lot can be accomplished. And the article that's coming out, wait till you see it. You can use it very constructively. There's Rat Hashem. Now, if I mentioned the article I'm publishing in the 30th Yod Sait Vadim of the Rav, well, this is the Satma beginning on page Kuf Chaf Zayin. Here he takes on the newspapers and he speaks about the way the Zionists are idolized in the general press. Now, I need not tell you what the Satma is talking about here may not apply today. I don't think the New York Times idolizes the state of Israel today. But he speaks about the radio, the news, the broadcast, and there's no question, Goliath and David, that before the Six-Day War, the Arab states would David HaMelech. The Arab states were Goliath. The little Jewish state was little David HaMelech trying to shoot a bow and arrow, a sling at the big Goliath. After the Six-Day War, it gradually changed. Today we're viewed, Baruch Hashem, that we're Goliath. Thank God. What we have, what we've developed, the arms we sell to the world. And we're talking about Western countries. And we're talking about the United States as well. So we're Goliath today. But before the Six-Day War, and even afterwards to a certain degree, we were viewed as the underdog. And here he writes, yeah, they view and they speak about Israel and its power and what they have achieved. And all this is the Zionists bribe them. It's like the charge that's made today, the lie, that we control the press. At one time they said the Jews controlled Hollywood. Now you'll hear people saying we control the world press. I don't believe that. Gets off the floor today, New York Times, BBC. All right, there are papers that are pro-Israel, but it's nothing to do with our paying them and buying them off. It's simply a fact of honesty, of reality, where we're at. Yes, Yomo.
I could be mistaken, but when people say that Jews control the press, world press, I don't think they mean religious Zionists.
No, they mean, I understand. I understand. You're saying even if it's nothing to do with Israel,
right.
But the liberals, the retrogressives, right. The Jews, you're right, you're right. You're absolutely right. And then, once again, he says, look what they have built in Israel. Shabanu, I'm on page Kufla Medgimu. I want to give you the pages so you can see I'm quoting him correctly. Shebanu ha minim va pikosim biatzenu ha kadosha yistrafu li echrevu al yedei melech ha-mashiach velo yisham eichem svidu palit and our achat kama va kama what has been built by the Sitra Acher, all this will be destroyed by Yemot HaMashiach. That this is very powerful. You see, when you talk about Israel, and I make the point that in the article, and I quote the Eim Habanim Smecha Rav Yisachar Dov Taich Tel. So what are you quoting? You're quoting that the greatest proof that this is the hand of God and not Satan. Look what we have built. Look what we have accomplished. Look what we have done since 1948. You're talking 75 years will soon be the State of Israel celebration. Look what a little country did. Look how many Jews we took in. Look how we cultivated the land. Look at the high tech. And all this, we look at it positively. And the Satmarav says, all this built by Minim and Apikarsim, this will all be destroyed by Yemot HaMashiach. And those that say, no, there's something new, Israel, when you talk about Israel, it's new, it's revolutionary. He says, and the Six-Day War, like the tremendous change that happened when the Six-Day War, it's nothing new. It will disappear. Vishamati mipi Talmud Chacham Mefusam. He doesn't tell you the name, but he says, I heard from this great Talmud Chacham that he heard from his father, who heard from his father-in-law that this individual was a shamus of the Ruzhina Rebbe. He's referring to Rabbi Yisrael Friedman, the original Ruzhina. And he heard Mipikacho, he heard from the Ruzhina that the Dvarim Elu, these exact words, that Kamosha Yarata Eshmin Shamayim L'Leyol Bahar Kamel V'lo Yarad L'Neviye Habal B'Ikvata D'Meshichata Yiyah HaHefech She'Yared Eshmin Shamayim L'Navi Habal V'Yu HaNisyonot G'dolim V'Yatsumim Kashim V'Marim V'Ani Omeidu Mashir Lechem Al Zeh L'Man Tredu Liyot Zehirim Vidava. And what you have here is a full support of the Satma Rebbe Shita, but you don't realize how fascinating and interesting this quote is. Who is he quoting? He's quoting the Ruzhina. The Ruzhina and Satma were two totally different worlds. They're both Hasidim. But Rushin, Rabbi Yisrael Friedman, began in Rushin Malchut, a whole different concept. The Rebbe, his big day kahuna, his garment, golden threads in the garment. You know anything about Rushin? A Malchut. Not only that, a carriage, horses, Chassidim dressed in army uniforms, saluting the Rebbe when he would walk out, accompanying him, protecting him. It was very different than the world of Satma. As a matter of fact, the biggest machlokes in Hasidic history is later between the descendants of the Ruzhin Rebbe and the Ungarische Chassidim. They couldn't take the royalty, the opulence, the show-offness in the Russian world, and it mamish broke into, I don't use the word shvichat damim, but they claim people died of the achmas nefesh, of fighting, of infighting. They wouldn't eat from each other's shchita. This all went on. This is all documented 100 years ago, 150 years ago, 200 years ago. This is all documented less than 200 years ago. And here the Satma Rav is quoting the Ruzhin Rebbe, word by word, what the Satma believes. God did miracles for Eliyahu HaNavi. Nothing happened for the Nevi'ei HaShekah. and be a Mot HaMashiach, exactly the opposite, the Yad, the Sitra Mavusa, the Satan, what they will do for the Nevi'e HaShekha and nothing for the righteous, pious Jews. And the Ruzna Rebbe said, be careful, don't be misled. Wow. Okay. I'll end up here. Next time we meet, we're going to come into the heart of the Satma and an issue that lives on until today. But you see, with the Satma, quoting the Ruzhin Rebbe, this is like my quoting Chovevei Torah. Follow me? To support a point, I'm going to quote Chovevei Torah. He's quoting the Ruzhin Rebbe, and if this is true, I never heard the Rusha, he says, I heard from this person, I heard from his father, from his father-in-law, all the way back to the Gabbai who serviced the Rusha and the Rebbe. Wow. Miracles will happen for the Satan people, and be very careful not to be enticed by their lies. All right, so we spent today continuing with Satma, quote by quote. We're not finished with the Ala Gelula Ala Tamura, but I would say we've done at least two-thirds the heart of it. The Kotel, that's the Satma Rav's understanding. Putting on tefillin, these are Weinsteins, these are Epsteins, these are hearts, these are sexual fiends, deviant animals. You think it's a mitzvah, it's the greatest sin in the world. The state of Israel, who gave them a right to go to war? Who gave them a right to fight the Arabs? Give up the state, give up the Straits of Tehran, call in the UN, and you'll have peace, shalom v'shalva, living with your neighbors. No problems whatsoever on a security level. It's the Satma. Who gave you the right to go to war? There's no Beit Din, there's no Sanhedrin. Now, forget about a Beit Din, there's no Sanhedrin. The Gemara, referring to the Gemara Sanhedrin now. You need the Beit Din of Ayin Aleph, the Beit Din HaGadol. Particularly, by the way, the answer, of course, is that this is a Melchemet HaMitzvah. Melchemet HaMitzvah is built upon a very simple concept. Habala HaGecha, Hashkem v'hargo. So you don't need any, this is like what's going on in Israel today about the rules opening fire. Could you imagine how stupid a guy wants to kill you and you got to shoot into the air and only then can you shoot him? You understand what I'm talking about? Abola ha'gecha hashkem v'hargo. And you know what went on yesterday, Zalop Pashut, what's happening in the Shomron. And we're without a government, and I hope the polls are wrong, because it's sickening to think we're going to go vote and be back where we started from. And the newspapers, the radio, the worship of the Jews, the little David, and all that is a result of Zionist propaganda. And we ended off with the vote from the Ruzhina, which we have to take the Satma's word for. It's a shame he doesn't tell us who this Adam Gadol is that he heard it from. But we don't have this in writing. What, Elliot, I'll tell you what's troubling me is that the Ruzhina dynasty, either they were officially religious Zionists or closet religious Zionists. In two modern times, you're not going to find anyone in the Ruzhin dynasty who is not pro-Israel Zionism 100%. In modern times, you have from the Vishnitsa brothers, the one who wound up Munsi became a chassid of the Satma. That already broke Batsadi Gera and the Biana, and you can go on, and in the Hushtana, if I'm pronouncing it right, they the Biana, 100% out in the open, great religious Zionist, wow. But they, in that Vishnitsa, in Muncie, it was an exception. I don't know why, but in all my years of teaching and it going on to YU Torah, I never got a letter maledicting me and cursing me. I said something about the Rebbe in Muncie, and I got a letter from a chassid of his maledicting me, cursing me. I didn't answer the letter. It's the third letter in my life I have not answered. So I'm just mentioning him in case he's listening. I got the letter, but I'm not going to honor it with an answer. Okay, are there any questions from the wonderful people sitting in front of me? Just one second. Yeah. I just want to go on record, if I can relax myself. I uncovered something that makes me very proud. I want to thank my Talmud, Benji Gerstmann, who listens to the classes. And Benji found among his grandfather's letters, believe it or not, I have documents proving that Hank Greenberg gave $500 to Yeshiva University in 1952. Charlie, I have a certain fondness for Hank Greenberg's memory, although very angry at the fact he didn't become a Torah Jew. He grew up around the corner from my father. Father lived at Washington 174th. He grew up 174th around the corner from Washington. He was born a year after my father, and they played sandlot baseball together in Crotona Park. I don't know if you know the Bronx, but Crotona Park was the big park near this area. And Mr. Max Gerstmann evidently had contact with Hank Greenberg, and two letters surfaced. One from Rabbi Zwillenberg. Rabbi Zwillenberg was a YU Mismach 1946. He was rabbi of Flushing Jewish Center. That was a big community beyond Kew Gardens Hills at that time. And there's a letter from Dr. Belkin to Mr. Max Gerstmann thanking him for the $500 which you secured from Mr. Hank Greenberg for Yeshiva University. And there's a similar letter, thanks from Rabbi Zwillenberg. Despite our recent conversations in which you expressed the feeling that it was not necessary for me to convey my thanks to you for the contribution of Hank Greenberg, nevertheless, I feel I must say what is in my heart. And the letter goes on, Herman J. Zwillenberg. So add Aaron Rakefet to the list, thanking your grandfather for that contribution from Hank Greenberg. Gentlemen, I want to wish you a very happy, meaningful, easy fast, and until we meet again in health and happiness the week after Sukkot, may it only be with endless besorah tova. Once open it to the world, we meet again October 23rd and October 24th, okay? For October 31st, I'm going to do something special, and at the end of the class, I will interact with Joseph Mendelovich on a midrash.
Yosef
Hatzadik Mendelovich. I will interact on a documentary which is now available on YouTube. Okay, open it to the world. Nachum, yeah.
Can I make a point? I've heard the soccer himself had a real issue with putting on filler. Like he would wait until his mind was settled.
Right, that's what they said, that he would go to the bathroom many times.
So you think he's projecting a little and saying, like, I had problems, so how many these people had problems?
Well, that's what Morty wanted to say. I want to relate to the Sakma Bukhavit. I'll tell you why. There's Sakma Hasidim listening to these lectures. I want them to accept them, and who knows, they may accept the end message as well. Okay, you follow?
There are two other points. There's a in Chukat that says Vayesh Mimenu Shevi. So there's a Medrash that says that he captured one person. Yeah. So do you think that when they talk about ordering people into war, they don't think people died on the Davis or in the Shlomo? They don't think people died on the Yeshua? Like they're depending on the Medrashim here to say that nobody ever died. That's what happens in war. It's terrible. It's war. You don't have a country yet.
Look into the Emek Ha-Meik-Dava. I think it's both in Shmot and in Devarim where he discusses at a time of war. And he says, Enochinami, the laws of killing are suspended. And even if you kill up to one-fifth of the population, you're not held accountable. So, listen, he's viewing it the Satan, the Sidra Mavusa. And if you view it that he's the Sidra Mavusa is doing it, then we can understand the Satma. I'd rather believe in God and give him all the power than give it all to Satan. But all right, we'll leave that. Leave it until I criticize Satma when I'm all finished. Okay.
Just one more thing. When we're talking about projection, the whole thing with Ben-Gurion was he saw himself, like he thought Begin was the type of guy who's going to overthrow the government.
Right.
Because he ran the government that way. So he said, oh, Begin's going to do the same thing to me.
What's interesting with Ben-Gurion, he basically gets overthrown. And you know, it's sad. Politicians are sad. If I had my way, I would place a law. Only women can serve in the Knesset, and only women can be in the Memshala. I'll tell you why. First of all, men have to study Torah. So the only heter for men is to be in the, if they're in the army protecting us, okay, they can protect us. Women don't have that strength. Men can protect us. But outside of a heter to be in the army, let them sit and learn Torah. Number two, women have emotion. And emotion leads to compromise. You have to understand we're all humans, but none of us have the perfect answer. The fact that Ben-Gurion ordered them to shoot and kill, that bothers me until today. So, all right, you say Ben-Gurion project, could be. But Besof Shel Davar, he wound up in a Velu Trefa. When you see his own party kicked him out. Women in their old age, they're beloved. The Gemara said, you know, with the value of the human being, Erkin, a woman goes up more in value. Because everyone loves an old woman. And they have wisdom, they give advice. Men, politicians grow older, they're bitter, they write memoirs, they curse out their enemies. Women are beautiful, listen to them. All right, I can tell you my great-grandchildren gather around my wife as if she's Miriam Hanaviyah. They look at me as if I'm an oyspaf, an ibu bottle, you know what. Okay, zomen zayin gezon. Let's pass the law, only women in the Knesset and in the Memshala. Yeah, Vic, I'm happy to see you, but where are you? Vic, you're sitting outside, you look like you're...
It was a very long morning. I missed the bus. I'm sorry, Rebbe. I was on my way, but I would have never gotten there before this year was over.
Oh, my gosh. Look what we have. Okay. And Mark, we managed with yesterday. Yomo got it on and rounded out the end. And Jack, I'm happy to see you online. I want to wish everyone a very easy, meaningful, fast, and a Gemach Hatim Letova. And I trust you picked up the schedule. Okay, I will meet again after Sukkot, and by then we'll know if the Yankees are the Yankees or it's the Sidra Acher that took over this year. Till we meet again in health and happiness, Dasvidanya. Thank you very much for honoring me with your presence.
Recording stopped.